And we're back on the PressBox Podcast, our final episode of 2017. We've only been going for a short time, but this is our final episode, and we will be back and stronger than ever in 2018. But for this episode, the last one, like I said, this year, we're going to start off talking about some of the best sports moments of the year. I'm going to pick a moment that I thought was stood out the most. Ralph's going to pick a moment that he thought stood out the most, and we're going to talk about that a little bit as we wrap up the year. And then we're going to bring on Uncle Joe, our resident National League and specifically Nationals baseball fan, and talk a little baseball here before we get off the air. So stay with us, and we will get right into it.
We're going to talk about our favorite sports moments of 2017, which is fitting since this is the end of 2017 and our last podcast of the year. So, Joseph, I'll let you start. What was your most exciting or favorite moment sports-wise of 2017?
Okay, so for me, personally, I'd have to go with the World Series that concluded in, played in October, concluded in November. Me and our producer, Nathan and I, I had a chance to go to Game 6, which was between the Dodgers and Astros, which was excellent. But I'm going to pick that event for a couple of reasons. One being the fact that this is the first trip back to the World Series for the Dodgers since 1988. So basically almost 30 years since they've been to the World Series. So they had the excitement in L.A. At an all-time high. Games 1 and 2, super high demand for tickets. It's a really big event in the city where, I think, and we've talked about this before, I think the Dodgers hold the top spot for four sports franchises in the city, above the Lakers and above the Rams, of course, as well. And then you have the Astros, which I think the fact that they were able to win it this year showed that the formula they used can work in baseball, which that formula being taking some time to blow things up and struggling for a number of years, as they did. You know, they had at least two or three 100-loss seasons there for a couple seasons in a row, basically gutted their team. Took the payroll way down, loaded up on prospects. And when a team does that, it's very hard for their fans at the low point because they don't know if they'll ever come out of it. But I think they showed that that's a viable path to winning the World Series. And the Cubs did something similar the year before. But specifically with the Astros, some of the guys now that are going to be put at the forefront of Major League Baseball, like Altuve, Springer, Correa coming into his own, they're not just a team that won the World Series. They're a team that I think positioned themselves nicely for a few years to come in the future. And then you had that whole thing about Sports Illustrated predicting their World Series win on the cover a number of years back. So I just think that was just a big sports story of the year. And again, really excited to see that in person, see how that played out, and looking forward to seeing what they'll be able to do next year.
Well, I think that's an excellent choice. The World Series was a very, very exciting World Series, and it was hard to follow one from last year when you had the Indians and the Cubs, but I think this one was just as exciting.
Right, another Game 7.
Another Game 7, that's exactly right. And you can't ask for much more than that in the World Series. I think my sports moment of the year, even though it happened at the beginning of the year, was the Super Bowl. And I choose that for a couple reasons. Not so much for the teams, the Patriots and the Falcons. Partly for that, the Falcons had not been in a Super Bowl since they played the Broncos in the Super Bowl way back in the 1998 season.
Right.
Which would have been the 99 Super Bowl. But also, it was the first Super Bowl in 51 Super Bowls that went into overtime. We had one against the Rams and the Titans that almost went into overtime. But this was the first one that went into overtime, which added to the excitement of the Super Bowl. Because not only do you have a game for the World Championship, but a game now that's going to hinge on one play or one score. The second reason why I chose that game is because of the way it played out. You know, for the first 2.5 quarters, it looked like a blowout. I mean, the Falcons looked like they had pretty much figured out how to stop the Patriots. People were starting to talk about, hey, the Falcons are the world champions. They've been able to beat the Patriots. And then all of a sudden, the Falcons got conservative. They started to try to run the football. They couldn't get first downs. The Patriots took over, and we saw the brilliance of Tom Brady again, being able to turn a 25-point deficit into an overtime and eventually a victory by carving up the Falcon defense with his short passes, finding those receivers across the middle. The Falcons tried to blitz him, which, again, we know you can't do. So it was almost like you had two football games inside of one football game, and then you had the drama of the first overtime Super Bowl in 51 Super Bowl games. I'll also use that to kind of leapfrog to right now, since we're still in 2017, but at the end of 2017, is the fact that this year you have the possibility of another first in the Super Bowl. The Minnesota Vikings, as we're taping this podcast, have just beaten the Green Bay Packers to go to 12-3, which means that they have an excellent chance at not only getting a first round bye, but maybe getting the overall number one seed. So they could conceivably play two playoff games at home and then the Super Bowl at home, since the Super Bowl is going to be in their stadium. So another chance for a first in Super Bowl lore if the Vikings can somehow get to the Super Bowl this year and play that game in their home stadium. I mean, how great of an advantage would that be for the Minnesota Vikings if they could sleep in their own beds and play in the Super Bowl? I mean, there's nothing more advantageous for a team than to not have to change their routine one bit and play in a championship football game. So that would be a tremendous advantage to them. So for me, it was the Super Bowl. For you, it was the World Series. And I know come 2018, we're going to have lots of other great sports moments that we could be talking about as well. Would you not agree with that?
Absolutely. And talking about the Super Bowl with the first there, I think that one thing, for me personally, I think that for the players and the team anyway, it'd be kind of dull to play the Super Bowl in your own stadium, because part of the fun of the Super Bowl is kind of taking that trip to the Super Bowl site and kind of taking in that whole week. But I'm sure the coaching staff would love to prepare at their own facility and stadium, and it'd obviously be an advantage for them. I just think it, in my mind, wouldn't be as fun for the players. But I think it would definitely help them. And then as far as the Super Bowl you talked about, the one we just had in February, a number of firsts again, Tom Brady being the first quarterback to win 5 Super Bowls. With that Super Bowl victory, and I obviously he likes playing and he should play as long as he wants to play, but I thought that would have been a great opportunity for him to kind of ride off into the sunset, as they say, and retire, where I don't think that his kind of legend or lore is going to be any higher than it was at that point. So I personally might have liked to see that, but again, just a great Super Bowl all over, and you can't go wrong with either one of our choices, I think.
Well, I agree. I mean, it was a great year, 2017. We've had a lot of fun giving you 6 podcasts plus this one, our 7th. And before we move on to talk to Uncle Joe, you know, I want to remind everybody that 2018 is going to be another great year sports-wise and a year where the Press Box podcast goes to the next level. We've got a lot of exciting things planned for you in 2018, a lot of interaction with our listeners through Twitter and through Facebook. And we've got some really exciting guests for you in 2018. I mean, we've got possible NFL players as guests. We've got an Olympic silver medalist as a guest. And we've got George Quarles lined up to be a guest. As you remember, George Quarles, former high school football coach at Maryville, now the new offensive coordinator at Furman. So 2018 is going to be an exciting year.
Right. To use a sports analogy, think of 2017 as the September call-up for the Press Box podcast. We got a month under our belt, and then we're going to have our full rookie season next year, and we're going to do big things and hopefully hit over 50 home runs like Aaron Judge did in his rookie year. So take that to the bank.
Sounds good. Looking forward to 2018.
All right. Before we call Uncle Joe, I want to give another quick reminder. You've heard it before. I'm going to say it again. We're brought to you by Bonus Room Art. So be sure to visit the website, bonusroomart.com, if you haven't yet. Some really cool art up there. You'll want to take a look at that. And also follow them on Instagram at Bonus Room Art. Like I said, really good stuff. Sports, movies, art. I know you'll like it. All right. Let's get it right into Uncle Joe.
Okay, it's time now in our podcast for our special segment. We have a special guest, and he's going to be joining us from time to time throughout the baseball season for some input on what's going on in the world of baseball. You know, like Jimmy Kimmel has his cousin Sal, and Scott Van Pelt has his Stanford Steve.
That's right, yeah.
So we figured we needed an Uncle Joe, and now joining us from straight out of Washington, D.C., is our own very Uncle Joe. And Joe, how are you today?
I'm doing well, guys. How are y'all doing?
Oh, doing great. Glad to have you.
I think everyone has an Uncle Joe somewhere.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now, we want to ask you first. I mean, we know that you're a really big Nationals fan. In fact, I know you've got a couple of National hats that you wear quite a bit. And I even noticed when I saw your Christmas tree that you have an ornament on the Christmas tree that says, "Santa, all I want for Christmas this year is for the Nationals to win the World Series." So
yeah, you can see how dusty that thing is, right?
Yeah. No pun intended, right?
Oh, absolutely. No pun intended.
That's right. Nope. Of course, Dusty is no longer part of the Nationals. But I want to start by first talking about, you know, you're pretty well clued into the Nationals. You've been to a lot of their games. What do you think the mood of the Washington Nationals fans are? I mean, they've been in the playoffs a number of times over the last 5 years or so, and they just can't seem to get over the hump. So is it become so frustrating that fans are ready to give up, or is it always, hey, you know, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. Within Washington, there's the diehard fans like myself that have been fans for a number of years. And then you've got the ones that have come on board in the last 2 to 3 years because of some success that the Nationals have had.
Right.
But those of us that have supported them, you know, emotionally year after year after year through the bad times and then through some of the better times, it's almost like getting a gut punch when they can't get past the first series. And at that point, you kind of sit there and you take your hat off for a while and you just want to divorce yourself from baseball. But then come April again, you're back again, emotionally invested. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And I know you guys, as a Nationals fan, you know, they've been around since 2005 and you've had a lot of things you've had to deal with. I mean, you've had the famous shutting down Strasburg before the playoffs. You've had Gio Gonzalez, who, of course, we're going to get into that a little bit.
Yeah, don't get me started on Gio.
No, we're going to get you started at the appropriate time. But you've got Gio Gonzalez. You've got the managers they've gone through. You know, Dusty Baker, of course, he's no longer the manager.
Matt Williams.
Matt Williams has been the manager.
Davey Johnson's
been a manager. Yeah. You've got Bryce Harper, arguably one of the finest young talents in the game, who is going to be a free agent after next year. So obviously the question is, will he stay with the Nationals? So what's your take on the season just completed? Let's talk about that. Because I know 2 years ago, in 2000, that would be the 2015 season, right? The Nationals obviously made the playoffs with a strong season and got beat in the first round. 2016, the Mets won it. The Nationals didn't even make the playoffs, but this year they had another great year. So what's the general take on things in the national universe right now?
Well, I mean, you're recently, you know, you mentioned Williams was the skipper, and then you've got Dusty came to be the skipper. And when Dusty came on board, you know, I remember we talked about that, and I told you guys, you know, I like Dusty, but he's not going to get them to the World Series. And now this, you know, Dave Martinez, right? Some bench coach. And I'm not even really sure what that is, to tell you the truth. You know,
I think it's a guy that
you're spending your time on the bench. I always thought that was a bad thing.
That's so right.
I really don't know. So I think the Nationals, again, I'm not sure why they picked Martinez. I don't think he's necessarily ready for prime time. I'd be happy if I'm wrong. It'd be great because that means the Nationals will win. But the Nationals need to do a lot, and the success they've had in the past few years that you mentioned, a lot of the failures, you know, early on the failures could be, look, they don't have enough guys that have been through it to help settle them down in that kind in a postseason. But that's not really the excuse anymore. And I think it's a couple of things that have contributed to some poor performances. A lot has to be put on the managers at the time, making some terrible calls about yanking pitchers or, you know, and then Dusty, you know, doing what he did with leaving Gio in and then not rotating Roark when he should have. I mean, these are all manager mistakes. You know, they brought Worth on board a number of years ago to try to bring some experience. I think he got a World Series with the Phillies, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
You know, other folks have kind of rotated in and out. They've got a great farm system. But, you know, the one thing I've noticed, they don't play like a team, right? It's like a bunch of superstar individuals that are not gelling as a team. And a lot of that has to be placed with right squarely on the head of the manager.
But don't you feel like they're competing against themselves right now? Because if you look at that division, you've got the Marlins in the tank, the Braves are in the tank, the Phillies right now are down, and the Mets are down. So I don't think it's really an issue of, are they going to compete for the division? Because they are, and they're most likely going to make the playoffs for the foreseeable future here. So it's really against themselves, right? So, I mean, they have to get over their own hump. Would you agree with that?
I think you're right, Joseph. I mean, I would agree with that. The problem is, you know, there's something missing in the formula, right? I mean, you mentioned that they shouldn't have a trouble winning their division for the foreseeable future, yet they just can't get past the first hurdle after in the postseason.
Well, you know, it's interesting because they've added pitching. I mean, they have arguably one of the better staffs in baseball. I mean, you got Scherzer, you got Strasburg, you've got Roark, you've got Gio Gonzalez.
Joe Ross, a young guy coming back.
Joe Ross, the young guy. So you've got good pitching, okay? You've had pretty good hitting, but it always seems like, as you alluded to, something happens in the playoffs. Either like they brought Scherzer back on way too much short rest in game 7 and he
got beat,
or game 5, I guess it was. And then the hitting doesn't come through except for one game. So they can't seem to get all the facets of their game clicking at the same time. And maybe it is management, or maybe it's just the players don't seem to have that special ability to take it to the next level.
Well, see, that's right. I mean, again, I think that proves the point I was trying to make, maybe a little bit more eloquently than myself, is that there is something missing in the formula that the Nationals just don't seem to have, and it's an intangible, right? I mean, look at a couple of years ago when the Cubs won the World Series. There was just, you know, there was just something special about that team, and something about the way that they played as a team. Right. So the Nationals have great players. The Nationals have performed really well last year. And then when it comes to the playoff, it's just a different team has taken the field. They're just not gelling as one team playing, and they don't look like they're having fun either. And that's part of it. You got to have fun and play the game. And then let's just jump into Gio right away, if you don't mind.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hold that thought. I'm going to give you the chance to jump into Gio right now, because I'm going to ask this question. Okay. I want you to put on your general manager hat. Okay. I'm going to allow you to be the general manager of the Washington Nationals for starting today until the first day of spring training. So go.
Okay. So today, the first day up to the first day of spring training, a couple of things.
You're in charge. Yeah.
I'm in charge. All right. Well, first of all, let's see if I can get out of the deal with Martinez.
Okay.
Okay. But it's probably too late for that. So I'll have to deal with it. To tell you the truth, I'd get rid of Gio. I'd find a place for him. I'd get him off my roster, because the guy will win about 14 games a season, and you know there's nothing bad about that. But this guy has done nothing to help them in the postseason. So at some point, you gotta stop returning to, you know, your vomit, so to speak, right? You know, it's over with Gio. He collapses in the postseason because he's got some mental block over that very first year that the Nationals made it to the postseason.
Right.
He collapsed. He folded like a deck of cards, and I think subconsciously he just can't get past it. Well, and maybe the Nationals isn't the place for him to get past it. So maybe he would benefit from being somewhere else as well. But he's not contributing for the Nationals, and I don't think that's I don't think they should keep him around. Or if you do, you know, help him get you to the playoffs, right? So another way would be is I'll help get me to the postseason, and you know what I'll do then? I'll put him in the middle innings, and if he starts crumbling at any point, I'll yank him immediately.
Right.
But I wouldn't start him. I'd look at my other starting pitchers.
Yeah, middle relief, yeah.
Right. So then that's the first thing. You know, Harper, and I think the guy is a superstar, obviously. He'll, you know, he could have a career for a very long time if he doesn't, you know, hurt himself in any way that's career ending. But he's a bit of an individual rather than a team player at times. And that, I think, is something that is that's causing that formula not to really click with the Nationals. You can tell that he's got great skills, but just doesn't seem like he's that much of a team player.
So you're saying, as the GM, you'd let him walk after the season then, or try to re-sign him?
I would try to re-sign him. But you know what? I wouldn't break the bank for
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's going to ask for that.
Yeah. He's going to ask for the bank to be broken quite a bit.
And if the owners really want to keep him around for some inordinate amount of money and some great payday, then we've got to make room, right? So get rid of some of the higher paid guys and give it to Bryce. But sure. I don't think Bryce is the – I think Bryce, I always thought, is the key to winning a series. And maybe he still is. But you know what? If I had to let him walk, I'm getting to the point now where I think it'd be a loss in the short term. But you know what? It might be the right thing to happen if it does. I wouldn't worry too much if we couldn't sign him.
All right. So let me ask you this then, this way, based on what you just said. Okay, so – obviously, like if you take a look at what the Yankees did the 2016 season, they traded Haroldis Chapman to the Cubs and got tons of young prospects. They mm-hmm. traded Andrew Miller to the Indians and got tons of prospects. And then they benefited from the fact that they actually got Chapman back because he was a free agent after that rental period with the Cubs. So they ended up trading two pretty good guys, but were able to build their farm system very quickly and get back on top this year. So obviously there's a lot of teams out there who wouldn't share your idea of Gio because he's a left-handed pitcher who has a good ERA. So would you trade him for a bunch of young prospects? Would you try to trade Harper before the trade deadline for a bunch of young prospects and build the team that way? How do you see it kind of playing out?
Good question. I would trade Gio, and if I could get some young prospects for him, or if I, you know, could fill another hole by trading him and getting some other another player or two in, I would do that. I really don't think Gio is a key to their future success. I think Harper would be more of a key to a future success given his star power and when he can hit, he's on, right? And if he can turn it on and has a super year, I think that would be enough to help pull some of his teammates. But again, I wouldn't just break the bank and do everything I could as a general manager to keep Harper. I would definitely try to keep him. I think it'd be great for him to kind of have his complete career, most of his years in a Nationals uniform, but they've got too many other holes to fill that just keeping Bryce around isn't going to be the key to getting a World Series. And, you know, Bryce obviously wants a ring. So what would it take to keep him with the Nationals? That I don't know. Right. Yeah. If the Nationals don't seem like they have a really good path to a World Series, he's going to try to get there some other way.
Yes. Yeah. But both of those guys are free agents after this year, but I don't think you trade either of them because the Nationals are not going to be sellers at the trade deadline based on what I just said. I mean, they're going to be most likely in first place. They're going to be trying to add guys to make a push to the World Series. So I don't think it makes sense for them to sell because, they're, like I said, there's no competition in that division. So they'd be more looking to add guys, I would say, around that time. So I did like what you say about maybe – you know, obviously you keep Gio in the rotation during the season. I mean, the guy won 15 games last year. He won over 20 games a few years ago. But maybe in the playoffs, if you put him in that long relief spot, because he can give you a lot of innings, he's a starter, he's built up. And then maybe at the trade deadline, you add another starter to put in that rotation, something like that. I mean, I think that, I think that this team has the talent. They just have to get over the hump. I don't think there's a piece missing, per se. I think it's just you just got to almost run it back and try again. You know what I mean?
So you think they've got kind of the right mix. It's just keep pounding away.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could be one of the situations where, you know, teams, they have to, you know, take some bumps in the playoffs before they learn how to win. That could be an issue there. And I mean, and you said you put a lot of blame on the manager, and they have a new manager. Maybe we give this guy a season or two to see what he can do. I don't know that he's the answer, but the Nationals sure seem to agree with you. That they would probably say it's the manager because they've changed, you know, every 2 years for the past 5 years or so, right? So I mean, yeah, I think after the season, if they have an early playoff exit again, and you have some of those contracts coming up, and then you look to shake things up. But this season, I think you just have to go for it.
Well, they've had to do that every season, and they're just falling short. So, you know, again, there's something missing. I wish I knew it and I could tell them, and they would they'd find that magic pill to make them win. But it's just not panning out for them. And you know, as a fan, right? Because that's all I am, as a fan here. As a fan, it's really disappointing because there's so much hope, and they were, you know, what was it, 2 years ago? They were, you know, before the season started, they were picked to win the World Series, and they just had a lackluster year.
Right.
And we know what it's like to have to try someone that's not proven with Matt Williams, right? And what happened there?
Yeah.
Okay, Dave Martinez is not necessarily a Matt Williams, but again, what you're doing is you're turning over the reins of a Lamborghini, right, to a 15-year-old.
that's a good analogy. I like that.
Right, so, and it's too much power right now for to handle it.
Let me ask you this. I mean, after the season, their managerial job was open. Who would you have liked to see them go after? Is there a particular name in mind you would have liked?
The Yankee skipper.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you, Ralph and I were talking about that a number of days ago. So I think that would have been someone I'd have gone after.
Yeah.
You know, taking someone from the Yankees organization and bringing him here, that I think that would have made a huge difference.
And in fact, you know, one of the reasons the Yankees got rid of Girardi is because they felt like he couldn't relate to the young players they had there. But the Nationals are a veteran team, so maybe he would fit better there. And I think as a general manager, remember, you can do anything you want. So you can fire Martinez right now, buy out his contract, whatever it is, and hire Girardi.
I tell you guys, look, I don't know anything about being a manager, but I really do believe I could have made some better calls and got him through the first series in the past few years.
I think you could have.
So final question here. We already touched on the NLE, so we know that's a little bit putrid. So as a fan going into the season, who are the one or two teams that you feel are going to be the biggest obstacle? Obviously, the Dodgers are going to be there. I mean, they're going to be a little bit favored. They were in the World Series, but besides them, maybe who are one of those one or two teams out there that you fear a little bit as a Nationals fan going into the playoffs? In the National League.
Right. Well, obviously, you know, I think that the Dodgers are a very tough team. I really think that in their division, I don't think there's anyone that's really that strong, right? But the one thing that, you know what I've always feared, and it's not necessarily built on anything that is sound in thinking, but they've always had a difficult time when they've needed to beat the Mets. Not consistently, but the Mets put together a great season a few years ago, made it to the World Series, right? And what happened? Let's get back to it. They made, you know, who was on their pitching staff? Clippard. And who got rid of Clippard? The Nationals. Sorry. So I think anyone within their division could be scary if the Nationals, you know, start stumbling a little bit. I'm really not, if the Nationals are clicking on all cylinders, I'm really not worried about anyone. And if they make some, you know, if they make some good moves and get some more power, and their pitching staff comes back and can perform strong again, I really am not. I don't fear anyone if they're playing well.
Yeah.
I don't think that I'm not real. I fear the Nationals against themselves more than I fear any other team playing the Nationals.
Excellent answer. And last thing I want to ask you real quickly is I know you're a Tennessee guy. You graduated from the University of Tennessee, but you did play football at Georgia. So I want to ask you about the Georgia-Oklahoma playoff game. What do you think about that game?
You know, I'm gonna kind of leave that there, because I did play football at Georgia, you know, 1 year, my freshman year. But over the years, after I've hung up the cleats, I've kind of hung up my following of football too much. So I speak less with less knowledge now. I obviously, from a sentimental perspective, the two college teams that I support is my alma mater at the University of Tennessee, and obviously University of Georgia, since I was on the team in the 82 season, and we won the Southeastern Conference championship. So, my heart is always with Georgia when they're playing, except if they're playing Tennessee, and then I have to go for my alma mater. But I'm just not following it enough to be, you know, a decent guest when it comes to those things. How about you? What do you think about that?
Fair enough. Well, I think Georgia's got an excellent chance to win. I mean, they got a great running game. They got a good young quarterback. I think it's going to be an excellent football game. In fact, I think it's going to be one of the better games during the bowl season. And if I had to pick right now, I think Georgia's going to win.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I would say Georgia too. Yeah.
Well, Joe, we appreciate your time, and we'll be having you on from time to time to join us and get your take, especially when the season rolls around, probably more often then, so you can give us your input on how the Nationals are going. And this is a big year for the Nationals. This is a big year. They have the All-Star game this year.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
For Washington, yeah, we've got the All-Star game coming to the
forgot about that.
Coming to National Stadium. I think that's going to be it's going to be exciting for the city. So it would be wonderful if the Nationals could put together a winning year again and actually get a little bit further than they did last year. Even if they don't go all the way, if they can get past that first series, it'd be a hell of a boost for the fans.
Well, yeah, right around the corner. I mean, what, pitchers and catchers report in what, like 9 days or something like that?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's amazing how fast it comes around. Right?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Well, Joe, we appreciate it. Have a good rest of the night. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Y'all take care.
You too.
All right, absolutely. And that'll do it for the Press Box Podcast in 2017. That'll be 7 episodes, if you're counting now, that we had this year, with hopefully many more and unlimited number of episodes to come in the future. Just a reminder again, if you haven't yet, follow us on Twitter at PressBoxPod, and also follow Fox Sports Knoxville's Twitter feed, because they'll be tweeting out our latest episodes as well, and subscribe on iTunes as well to get the episodes right when they come into your feed. So again, from me and Ralph to you guys, we wish you a Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year, and we will see you in 2018 on the Press Box Podcast.